Nice Money Babies, I just want to give you all a quick warning that we do talk about mature content, and this podcast should be listened to viewers over the age of 18. We also wanted to give you all a little warning that we do give spoiler alerts to our books. Now that that's out of the way, let's get smutty in here.
Welcome back to Smutty Babies. I'm Tina, here with Tay. We are going to be talking about Eyes on Me by Sarah Kate. It's the second book to the Salacious Players Club series. So Taylor, if you want to go ahead and give us the summary of what this book is about, we'll get started.
Absolutely. We're just going to go ahead and read the summary off the back of the book. Listen in, guys. He's a voyeur. He likes to watch. In Garrett Porter's line of work, that's a gift, as one of the owners of the Salacious Players Club. He's comfortable on the sidelines and has always felt that he works best alone, until he stumbles on a cam girl app and finds himself watching the one person he should stay far away from, his stepsister, Mia Harris. Now, Mia has awakened something in Garrett. She has him wanting and doing things he said he'd never do again, like opening up and getting attached. He's falling for her, but she's falling for the man he's only pretending to be. Dun, dun, dun!
Nice. Just to go a little further into the summary, Garrett and Mia did not grow up together.
No, they didn't.
That's very important that he was much older. He was like 21 when their parents got married.
And she was 8.
Yes. And so they hated each other, quotation marks. So for all of that time.
Yeah. And then like in like the last 10 years, he hasn't been around really. He's like stayed away. He's barely even seen his family. So.
Yes. So they are not close by any means. Yeah, Garrett actually struggles with depression, which a big theme in this book. But before we get into that, I would like to go ahead and say the trigger warnings that Sarah Kate puts in the front of this book deals with topics of depression, anxiety, and attempted suicide. Now, the attempted suicide is not actually in this book. Mm-hmm. They just hint at a past experience.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Taylor, what we all want to hear. Your favorite smutty line.
Oh my gosh, Christina. This is so hard. This book had so many good lines for me.
I also wrote down a bunch.
Man, I don't know what to do. So I'm going to go...
Give me your top three.
Top three? Really? Okay, cool.
Give me your top three. If you literally have that many, give me your top three. Because okay, cool. I also have a top three.
My first one's kind of long because there's a detailed description that's before the actual line. So here we go. I don't know if I can read this. There's like vulgar words in this line, but here we go. We're going to do
it. Oh,
I'm doing it.
You got to commit now.
We're committed. Okay. All right, here we go. My top favorite smutty line. Nudging her backward, I guide her to the counter, and with one quick lift, I have her sitting on the surface, legs splayed open to me like a meal, and I bury my mouth against her. The ice is quickly melting, which is exactly what I want. By the time it's gone, I want to have nothing but her coming on my tongue. God, you taste so good, kitten. Like, come on. Like, that sounds amazing.
You gotta make me blush.
Like, I want to experience that. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I'll give you my second one. Let me find it real quick, but you give me yours.
Mine is, but don't you want to ride my face first? It's just good.
It is good.
I just liked it so much.
I love that. That one was good. Okay.
I have my second one ready.
Go ahead.
This pussy is mine, Mia. All fucking mine.
That actually was one of mine, too. I loved that. I love when a man's dominant. He's like, ooh, tell me. Yes.
Yeah.
So this one was, it was a funny one. It made me laughing my ass off. So I put it in purple, but it is one of my favorite smutty lines, too. Basically, he's trying to get her to sit on his face, and she keeps lifting up. And he goes, Mia, when I said sit on my face, I meant sit on my fucking face.
Sheesh.
And that one was so good to me. I was like, damn, okay. All right. Heard that.
Heck yeah.
My third is also more of a scene, so I'll just kind of go back and forth with the lines real quick because I was literally just freaking out whenever I was reading this one. She's basically in a voyeur room. She's by herself masturbating, and he is told to go look in the voyeur hall. And there's a room that she's in, and then there's a window that's in between her and the audience, and she can basically change the lighting to where you can either see the people watching you or you don't have to. And she chose to see the people, and he was out there. He basically finds out, and he walks in there, and he's closes the curtains and he starts having sex with her, and he's like, I don't like you flashing your pussy for everyone to see, Mia, but fuck, it made me want to claim you that much more. And she was like, yes. He goes, this pussy's mine, Mia, all fucking mine. And then he's like, I don't want anyone looking at it, touching it, or even thinking about it, understand? And she's like, yes. And he's like, say you're mine. He's like, I'm yours. And she's like, louder. And then she's screaming, and he's like, I want you to scream at me, tell every single fucking person in this club who you belong to. And I was like, fuck, the damn, like, Garrett, yes sir, you got me. That was such a good scene for me. I don't know,
but it's so funny that we picked very similar, like, you literally picked the same scene as mine,
but I picked that's the whole great. scene. I was like, you can't leave that whole scene out, like, come
on. I did.
Like, that's not one line, that's multiple. That's a man straight up telling you, like, tell me who you belong to. And I'm like, yes sir,
you're braver than I for saying the whole scene, that's for sure. Mm. We will talk about, now that we've established our favorite lines, this book is about Garrett, who's a voyeur, and voyeurism is someone who likes to watch other people have sex.
Mm-hmm. They get off more in watching people climax than
participating. Well, in his case, he actually prefers not to be involved at all.
Yeah.
And then, but I'm not, I don't know if that's for all voyeurs. She is actually an exhibitionist.
Mm-hmm.
She likes to be watched.
Yeah, that's why she's the cam girl.
They're the perfect pair.
Which, I have so many questions about this for you. Okay. Because I know voyeurism and exhibitionism is more your territory than mine on the BDSM scale. So I have some questions for you, Christina. Oh,
wonderful.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so. This book, she is a cam girl, and then he obviously is a co-owner to the Salacious Players Club.
Mm-hmm.
And this book actually picks up pretty quick. Like, the smut in it, it's not hardcore smut in the beginning, but there's a lot of flirting and a lot of sexual chemistry and buildup.
So
that's crazy.
Much sexual chemistry. It was incredible writing.
And it's almost like, what am I reading? Like, this is a stepbrother and stepsister. When you first start reading it, it's almost weird, but then you're like, nah, like... Well, and not that weird.
Well, honestly, I'm only convinced that it's weird because the characters think it's weird at first. But then once they kind of grow into it, I also kind of was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, right. I'm into this.
They're accepting it. Yeah. Like, all right.
Well, I think what was the weirdest thing for him was that he's 36 and she's 23 now as an adult, but he's known her since she was 8 years old. And yeah, they might be consenting adults now and they haven't talked to each other really for the last 10 years. But it is weird having sex with somebody you've known since they were 8 years old.
Yeah.
And you were a grown-ass adult when y'all met.
Yes. I think that's, he struggles with that more than the stepsister, like step-sibling thing, because they've never acted like siblings.
Mm-hmm. Really. Well, she's also says in the beginning that she's been in love with Garrett her whole life. Like, pretty much since they met, she fell in love with him at the age of, like, I think she says that she didn't actually register she was in love with him until she was, like, 11 or 12.
Yeah.
But she's been in love with him pretty much since he's been in her life. And she's also a virgin. She's never had sex with anybody. Being an exhibitionist, she is a cam girl. And so she, you know, masturbates and does things for specific men in private rooms. But she's never actually given herself to anybody. And I think that's crazy. Like, that's...
It was so crazy. I was not expecting that.
I was not either. Whenever I read that, I was very shocked.
Neither was Garrett. And he was not okay with it.
He was like, what? Yeah. I can't take your virginity. I'm your stepbrother.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was funny.
How did you feel about the step-sibling vibe? Did it ruin it? Like, the story?
I don't think so.
No.
That's you?
Good. No.
Okay.
I was just wondering, because some people might, like, frown upon it, but...
I mean, yeah, I do think it's super weird, which, by the way, we have some deep conversations about this book, as I'm actually really into this series. I think this series hits very important topics that are not normal at all, and we're only two books in, and we still have three more to go. I think that it's just interesting how many difficult things come up in this book, but I don't know. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. Once they start talking to each other... And you realize, you know, their dynamic between the two of them, I think that it's actually done very respectfully.
Mm-hmm. This is actually my favorite trope. Not that they're really enemies to lovers, that headbutting, stubborn, picks on each other. But then, like, it always creates the best, like, sexual tension.
It does.
best sexual attention ever. Like, and I almost appreciate that more. Like, I love that more than the actual smut itself in this book.
Yes. Okay, so like in the first book of this series, Praise, Emerson and Charlotte's story, Emerson does not like brats. And so like that's one thing in that book I didn't like is that like she couldn't whine and she couldn't pout. She is a huge brat and they bicker constantly and he's always calling her a brat and he's like, "Are you done being a brat now?" And I love that. Like I love that back and forth and that banter. I feel like it's just I don't know, it's hot.
Oh, yeah. I noticed, and I'm not sure how the rest of the books are going to go, but Sarah-Kate definitely has a theme in this first and second book about these relationships that are taboo
Yes, I was
or,
literally, that's one of my questions
yeah.
for you.
Or like forbidden, you know, because the first book is my son's ex-girlfriend. And then the second one is step siblings. So I'm really curious as to the rest of the series, but I'm very excited to finish the rest of this series because it seems incredible so far. I really like the writing,
I really like it too.
which brings me to the more serious topic of depression and how it's depicted in this book. I thought it was an incredible depiction.
I do too. It wasn't something that overwhelmed the book and made it hard to read. It was not
Correct.
something that made the book dark. It just touched on the subject, but it is something that you definitely needed to understand Garrett as a character and his mental struggles and what he is personally going through. Another thing you don't know until probably, I don't know, it's probably a third of the way through the book, but Garrett has not had sex in 10 years. And 10 years ago was his suicide attempt. His mother and his stepfather found him, and Mia had no clue about it. She finds out in the book, but she had no clue it even happened. It was really sad. And you know what's even sadder is you don't really ever understand why. I'm assuming it's because he just never felt like he was good enough and he was a failure.
Yes, so they touch upon his type of depression, which is he'll have really high highs and really low lows.
Manic depression,
So
yeah.
when he has low lows, it's like he has self-worth problems, and that'll put him in a whole state, and you never know how long that state will last. He never knows what he'll do in that state either. So I believe the bout of depression he was experiencing 10 years before when he attempted was the feeling of self-loathing, that everyone would be better off without him. And it does state that it was purely an accident. He was not trying to attempt to commit suicide. He just accidentally, and he makes a point to say that it was an accident. I thought it was incredible that when you are reading from his perspective, it never brings you down. So he experiences some like intrusive thoughts and things like that, but it's never so overwhelming that it affects me. Like, because I'm so easily affected by emotions and
You
whatever
are.
is going on. So it never affected me too heavily. And I think that was incredible writing, very light.
Okay, quick little backtrack. It's important to know this. Every summer they go to a family summer house, and he has not gone for 10 years, and he decides to show up this year. And the reason he decides to show up is because he's drunk one night, he decides to download a cam girl app, and who's the cam girl he decides to look up on? It was Mia. It was by accident. He finds her and he basically fakes a name, says his name's Drake, and they start messaging each other back and forth. And like, but she can never see his face. She doesn't know it's Garrett the whole time. And I thought that reading that was just so sad because Mia has already told Drake that she's in love with Garrett, and Drake is Garrett. Like, Garrett's sitting here making love to this girl, thinking that she would break his heart and, kill his spirit, but he's also aware that she's been in love with him since she was 10 years old, which is so crazy to me because that there just shows how depressed he really is and how much, like, depression can affect somebody on in their daily decisions in life.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was really good. And the point of him going on to the cam girl app was that he was looking for a connection. He's a voyeur because he doesn't feel connections with people because due to his depression. So that's how he became a voyeur, was he enjoyed watching people because he didn't enjoy actually doing anything because he never had connections with people and he was tired of that. So he was looking for some sort of connection on this app, And when he found Mia, she was just an absolute natural. And he really, like, he started connecting with her on this app, and they connected. So he had to go to the lake house. He had to go
He
to
had to go
figure
see
out,
her.
yeah, to figure out if this was just a one-off thing or what, or if he's just a freak, you know, for
Where he's
getting off
like,
to his
I'm just a
stepsister.
freak who's like into my steps.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. But no, yeah, I agree. And also throughout the whole book up until the end, which this book is only over a period of probably 6 or 7 weeks, be in mind, maybe 8. The whole time she's texting Drake and she's with Garrett. So like she'll hang out with Garrett during the day and spend time with him, and the second they're not together, she's texting Drake, who is Garrett. So she's literally talking to Garrett 24/7, not
Yeah.
realizing it's Garrett. And there's also one scene and it's so freaking sad. Oh my gosh. And I'm not gonna read it word for word, but
You can
she's
paraphrase.
masturbating with Drake. They're on the phone together and he's getting her off, actually. He's telling her what to do, and she's just had an orgasm for him, and she's basically just sitting there, and she's like, I'm in love with two men that don't want me. 'Cause she was like, I want to see you. I want to like be able to actually hang out with you. And he's like, that's just not going to work out. And she was like, I'm in love with two men that don't want me. And she hangs up on him.
Oh, that ripped my soul
That
apart.
ripped my heart out. That I was literally crying. I was like, that is so freaking sad. Like, could you imagine getting an orgasm and then immediately having a broken heart right after? Like, I could not imagine that emotional turmoil. But what does she do? She hangs up on Drake, gets her britches up, and she goes straight to the Salacious Players Clubs to see Garrett, which
Yeah.
is who she was already on the phone with. But,
Yeah.
and then they have their first sex scene. So,
Oh,
turned out pretty good.
and it's so
It
good.
really is. Oh my gosh.
I do say that the build up was better in my opinion,
Yes.
which is why I'm gonna give this 3 peaches because the build up was better than the actual sexy scenes.
Really?
I think so. Okay, but my preference is I love a good build up. Like,
Yeah.
I like the build up more than I actually like the sex parts.
No, I
Sometimes.
agree. I agree.
Sometimes. But this book, I particularly liked the build up, the sexual tension. It was so good.
It was
The
so good.
forbidden, trying to hold back their step siblings, blah blah blah. That was just ugh.
Like, be in mind, this book is 280 pages. Their first actual sex scene where like full on having sex with each other, she loses her virginity, isn't until 175 pages,
Yeah.
which is crazy to me
But
for a
there's
smut book. But there's so much other, like, don't get me wrong, like there's blowjobs and like cunnilingus that happens, you know, so it's not like nothing's going on,
So
but
much, so
you
much going
know,
on.
they take a long time before they actually have sex together, and I just think it was so funny how it happens, because he finds out she's a virgin, and it basically they're about to have sex, and she's like, I just wanted to let you know, like, I'm a virgin. And he's like, what? What the fuck? And then it just doesn't happen. And whenever they do have sex, it's literally because she's masturbating in the voyeur room. And he's like, what the hell are you doing? You're letting all these people look at you. And he's like, I love it, but I don't like it. Like, you're mine. And he just closes it and just completely like takes her. And he's like, okay. And they just literally go to town on each other for like 6 hours. And also, that's another thing that is like, I have a question for you, Christina, because reading that, okay. First of all, yeah, I understand she's 23. She's a cam girl. So she loses her virginity, right? And they bang like 3 times for in over a 5 or 6 hour period, right? They go home together, and Drake, she tells Drake, she messages him after they separate the next morning, and she's like, we did it, we had sex. And he's like, okay, well, I'm gonna send you a present. And a present shows up later that evening, and it's a butt plug, which, whew, already excites me. I thought that was awesome, and I actually highlighted that. I was like, "Ooh, okay, Mia, we're gonna explore." But what does she do the next? Literally that day, she shows up to the Salacious Players Club with the butt plug in, and then they like have a whole nother sex scene, which is amazing. But I'm like, how the heck did you feel about knowing that she literally lost her virginity, and you know how painful that is? Like, you lose your virginity and then decide to bang 3 times and then try anal the next day. Like, what is this girl? She's like, oh, I waited 23 years, but we're now in business, you know? Like,
No, they don't actually try anal yet, but she does put the butt plug in.
but what I'm saying is, do you know how many
Like, that's
people lose their
advanced.
virginity
Yeah.
and put a butt plug in the next day? Like,
Yeah,
that does
no.
not happen.
Yeah, unrealistic for
That's
sure.
that takes some working up to, but
Yes.
I feel like she is an older, she's older. She's 23, so it makes a little bit more sense.
But I will say she's willing, though. She finds it all very exciting, loves it. So
yeah.
So she was into it.
Well, okay, so she put the butt plug in herself.
Yeah.
I thought that was also so interesting.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh. Anyways, but you wanted to talk about something and then you went on this whole tangent.
That was my question, was like, how did you feel about that?
About
like,
the butt plug?
No, about like being a virgin and doing all of that in the span of a day.
Okay, yeah. It's a bit rushed. If the author might have put some time, like they were just, you know, happy doing each other for like a week or two.
Yeah.
I could even accept that.
Yeah.
But to do it literally the next day was a little, I was like, shoot.
Okay, so what's your question, Christina? Give me a question.
Pet names.
I love the pet name in here. So Drake calls her Kitten because...
Her cam girl user name is like Kitten something.
Something.
Yeah.
And
so he calls her Kitten.
He calls her Kitten. And I love pet names. I think pet names are a must for a relationship for me.
Do you count using someone's full name? So the first book... Her name is Charlotte, but everyone calls her Charlie.
Charlie, yeah.
But Emerson calls her
Charlotte.
Charlotte. I would also consider that a pet name.
I agree. Which the only reason that's a pet name in that book is because he's the only one that can call her by her full name.
And I eat that up.
Yes. But for me personally, I hate my name. I do not like my name. I'm sorry, Mom. I love you so much. It's not girly, and I'm a very whimsical woman. Like, I should have been called Willow or Charlotte or, you know, like, something awesome. I don't know. Like, from the 1950s or 1920s. You know what? Let's go back. We're going to 1800s. That's Annabelle. Something just...
cute.
So, for me, I hate hearing my name. In the bedroom, I never want to hear my name. If I hear my name, like, I'm it's turned off. Like, you've done lost me. It pisses me off. I don't like it. And that's how much I hate hearing my name. So, and I'm in a relationship with somebody, I like personalized pet names. Mm-hmm. I don't even, like, I like being called babe and baby, but once we were together for about 4 or 5 months, if there's not a personalized pet name, then there's a problem.
What's your favorite pet name you've been called then?
Ooh, probably Sparky.
That's freaking adorable.
Yeah.
That's so freaking cute. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had one.
Never had one?
I don't think so.
Okay, so I have another one. Ooh, I have two. Actually, I have two.
Hold on. I actually did have one. It's because I've always gone by Christina, but then everyone started calling me Tina at one point in my life. And so everyone in my life called me freaking Tina for forever. And so I like when a guy calls me Christina because I don't think Tina is sexy at all. But one time when I was a teenager, this guy called me Chrissy, and I hated it so much. But
Chrissy?
Chrissy. But he was so hot. I was like,
you're like, I hate this name.
I hate this name.
When it rolls up your tongue.
Oh, my gosh. No. Which is actually a good connection because I want to talk about the whole cam girl thing and online dating. But it was Chrissy is probably the only one that I've ever liked. But it's because it.
But you also hated it.
Oh, because it made me so mad. But it was like a passionate mad, not
passionate
like a
mad, yeah.
Not like a.
But
disgust.
Were you were in a relationship with him? Were you?
No.
Oh, okay.
He was too busy doing cocaine.
Oh shit, Lord! My other favorite nickname was Peach. Peaches.
Peach. Oh, it's so cute.
Because I have a fat ass.
Mm.
Apparently.
Apparently.
Apparently. But... so she's. Peachalicious.
Follow us on Instagram and you can see Taylor's ass.
Yeah, there actually is a photo on there. And you can see Christina's too.
Anywho.
I think pet names definitely...
make or break a story.
It really does. It also just gives a connection. It makes... okay, how do I say this? Because in the books we've read so far, we have not read a smut book where they don't end up together or they don't fall in love with each other. Right. So in my personal opinion, when the two characters falling in love with each other, having a cute little pet name just makes that personalization that much more.
So wonderful.
It's so good. It's cute. Pet names. Okay. Especially Kitten. Like, you taste so good, Kitten. Like, yeah, Daddy, I do.
Nice.
You know? I don't know. Okay, here's my next question for you. I did technically ask you this question in the last book, but it did come into this book too. So I'm gonna ask you it again. Okay, how do you feel about the freaking motherly love that goes on in these books? Like the mother acceptance. Like his mom figures out just on based on how they interact between the two of them that there's something going on. And she's like, if you, it's weird, but if you find peace in it, then I'm happy for you. Like, what do you feel about that?
I think that is purely fictional. Like,
You
I
think?
don't think in real life, I don't know if two parents would actually think that way.
Except, especially for step siblings.
Yeah, because it's so taboo. Now, the author does a good job of making it less taboo because he's been absent for like 10 years, but still, it's like you're related by marriage, not by blood, but
And you met it when she was 8 years old. If she would have been like 18, I feel like it would have been a bit different.
it was essential to them actually being okay with being with each other and letting loose and getting together and falling in love and admitting that they love each other, whatever. I think it was essential to that. He never would have accepted it
Right.
if their parents didn't. So
Right.
I think it had to be done.
I agree. Think about it. Because his mom even says, you know, like I know you're seeing Mia. Like I've been seeing her giddy and I just never knew in a million years it would be you. So when I say that Mia brings out peace in you, Garrett, I mean that the connection I see between you two keeps you grounded like I've never seen before. Like the storm inside you has subsided, and that's what I wanted for you all along. And I don't care that I'm not the one who can help you, or that she's your stepsister, or that Paul might hate it. You're at peace, and that's all I've ever wanted for you. And then this is Garrett, and he goes, "It hits me that the girl I never thought I could be with might have been made for me all along," which I thought that was so freaking amazing. Like having a mom straight up call you out and then be like, "I accept it. Like, it's okay. They're both happy. Y'all are both in love with each other, and you can see it. But you need to think about this and make sure that what you're doing is what you really want before you break this family up." And I just thought that was literally the most mature freaking conversation. Yes, you're right. It probably wouldn't happen like that in reality, but reading it was, I thought it was very good. I thought it was so respectfully done.
I think I like it too.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain it's unrealistic, but it worked for the book, so
Yeah.
I'm not mad about it. Let's talk about voyeurs and exhibitionists.
Okay, so.
What would you be, Taylor?
Oh, I'd be a voyeur.
You'd rather watch.
And I think that somebody could encourage me to be an exhibitionist, but I could never be one on my own.
Okay.
Like, I'd have to have somebody in the room with me to get my mind off of it, not realizing that people were watching me. I could never do what Mia did, just going in there by myself, making sure I could see that they're watching me and masturbating.
Yeah,
No.
the confidence
Yeah.
Mia has is incredible.
It's crazy. I don't think I could ever do that.
But she gets her confidence from people
Watching
watching
her.
her.
Yeah.
So that's how she became confident, I
What about
think.
you?
I probably could do both.
Yeah.
I
Would
like
you
both.
do what Mia did?
I could, yeah.
I kind of figured.
I kind of could, yeah. You know what's crazy is that this generation, I feel like we do a lot of online dating. I feel like that's where that comes from. I've done so much online dating because I have a hard time meeting people in real life. I was not confident at all, but that is a different story.
Not anymore. I know
So,
some
yeah.
situations where you've just
Owned
been
it.
boss ass bitch up in here.
Yeah, definitely not always the case. But online dating, getting that like online attention, things like that, I feel like that's where this kind of confidence has come from.
Comes
Now,
from.
is it substantial? No. It is
Yeah.
definitely like empty attention, I guess, which is something that Mia talks about, is how it makes her not that it makes her feel empty, but that it just all lacks connection. So she refuses to like go any deeper with anybody because there's never going to be a connection there. And that's what
Right.
both of these characters are searching for, is connection. And
Really? See, I think that I had a bit of a, I don't really, I think I had a negative experience with online dating. See, I guess I'm just, maybe I'm negative Nancy. I need to be more positive in my life. But,
you know.
okay, so next question on Eyes on Me. What do you think of the plot?
Plot was great.
Really? I feel like that has not happened for you a lot. You do not say the plot is good very often, I feel like.
Yeah, Ice Planet Barbarians was just disappointing because it had so much potential.
Yeah.
Praise was okay. I like this one more, but it's probably more because I like the voyeurism and exhibitionist
Yeah. There,
thing.
you know what's crazy is I feel like I'm more of a daddy dom girl, which is what Praise is. But I got a lot more hot and heavy reading this book than when I was reading Praise.
That's what I'm saying. The sexual tension for them is
Insane.
so freaking juicy.
It's so freaking good. Like, it's crazy. I don't know. The way he teases her, the way he makes her beg for what she wants. Oh my God. Like, that's a dream right there. It's a dream. I want to dream that dream. I want to experience that dream. I don't know. And just like who she is as a person. Like, there's a whole scene where, like, she goes up to take a shower and she leaves the door cracked. And be in mind, it's a clear, like, glass shower door. You can see through it. She gets off. And she's the whole time thinking, like, I hope Garrett's out there. Like, I hope he's watching. And, like, she gets out of the shower and she's butt ass naked. And he just, like, knocks and walks in and grabs soap. Like, that's to
Oh
grab
no.
soap.
Oh, but I love it because she thinks that he's coming in there to do
To,
something about it,
yeah,
finally.
to like fuck
But
her.
and then she like they're just staring into each other's eyes, and so she drops her towel, being all sensual, and then he just grabs the soap and he's
Yeah.
like, "Excuse me, I need this for downstairs." And she goes, "You're such an asshole."
Yeah.
Like, and she hates him, but I freaking eat it up, Taylor. I
Yes,
eat
yes.
it the fudge up.
There's actually there's a scene where they're like going back and forth and he's teasing her and he basically like rejects her. Like that he does that a lot too. Like he's teasing her and like gets her all hot and bothered. And he'll, don't get me wrong, like he'll, you know, go down on her and stuff, but she wants to have sex with him. But he continues to tease her and go back and forth and she's literally like looking at him and arguing and she goes like, "Do you think that it's fun for me to be humiliated? Do you think that I enjoy you getting me turned on just to reject me? Do you think that I want you to make me tell you what I want from you and then you tell me I can't have it? Like I hate you. You're an asshole." Like literally just and I literally broke my heart. I was like, that is so sad. And then she goes upstairs and she starts messaging Drake, which
That's,
is Garrett.
yeah, which is when she ends up saying, "I'm in love with two men that don't want
Yes.
me." But I'm sorry, it is sad, but I eat it the fudge up.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, "Oh, is it this time? This time they're gonna finally do something? What?" And oh my gosh, it was just so good. So good. It
Yes.
was better than Praise.
It was so much better.
It was better
And
than Praise.
knowing another thing that I thought was crazy about this, but I also have a question for you after this. But one thing I thought was crazy about this book was that so for a week of the book, they're at the lake house on a family trip. And that's when they're like get they're they literally just call it playing. They're just playing with each other and having fun. And I think it's crazy because she's on her cam girl side and she's talking to Drake all the time, which is Garrett, and they're in the same house. Like it, what's crazy is they're masturbating to each other in the same house,
Which
just
get,
rooms apart.
but that gets Garrett off even
I
more.
know. He's like I like knowing that I just got her off and she's upstairs just wet and waiting and I could go up there and just fuck her, but I don't. And I'm like, "What is wrong with you, Garrett?" Like I think it's just crazy. But it's funny because my favorite line earlier was when he like threw up on the counter and like goes to town on her. He's like, "You taste so good, kitten." Literally the next like an hour later, their parents come home and they're scrambling to get their clothes on and everything and wipe up the ice everywhere. And his mom, and they're talking back and forth, and his mom says, "Such a good big brother." Because he's like taking care of her. And I literally was like, "Oh, that's such a cringe moment." Or like, you definitely almost just got caught eating your stepsister out, and your mom's calling you a good big brother. Like, you take such good care of Mia. And it's funny because she flips him off. She flips him the middle finger. And he's laughing at it because he's like, "Oh, yeah, I know. I'm a good big brother." But like, things like that are what made it a little weird for me. I was just like, "Oh, don't call him brother. Don't call him brother." But what's weird is they actually like it. She even says she gets off to the fact knowing that she's his stepsister and the person that's how he's having sex with.
It was not like that for him. He was definitely trying to forget that.
He was like, "This is just too much for me."
But that's interesting, two different takes on the relationship. You know, one who's into it, one who's like trying to forget it.
Yeah.
I thought it.
But I don't I like the book. I thought it was really good. I feel like this whole situation is weird, but it's written very well.
Yeah.
Would you ever fuck your stepbrother?
I don't think so. No.
You know, it's funny
I
'cause you
don't have
always
one.
say do it for the plot, Taylor.
I do say that a lot, but that is not my plot.
That is
That
not my plot.
is not my plot.
I
I
feel
don't have a
that.
stepbrother.
I don't have a stepbrother either. Like,
So.
my brothers are blood related to me, so let's
Oh.
not go down that road.
Okay. Well,
We're not gonna talk about that.
you're the one who
But,
asked.
well, okay,
Well,
I guess it just depends on the situation. Like, what made this book a little weird for me is that he's known her since she was 8.
yeah.
That is what is a little weird. Like, if it
It's
depends on what age I met my
I
stepbrother.
almost wish that her like the parents got together way later and so they'd only
Yeah.
been step siblings. I mean, maybe for a couple years.
Yeah,
That
like
would be
16, 17 when she was 16, 17.
yeah, which I think the point of making it when she was younger is that he absolutely did not think about it once
Yeah.
before he saw her as a cam girl. He did not think about it once.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it was important that she was really young and that she was a child because he never would have looked at her. And I think it was important to establish that. He
Yeah.
never looked at her when she was young.
That's a good, yeah, there's, I agree with that. Yes.
So
It wasn't until she was an actual mature woman.
I think it would have been okay if she had been a teenager when the parents got married and he's in his like late 20s, early 30s, something like that. I think that would have been okay if they still treated it the same, like he did not even look at, twice at her.
Yeah.
I don't think I mind that they were really young because they just butted heads the whole time. But that was him trying to show her affection,
Yeah.
like just
And that's another
being
thing I thought
protective.
was super interesting is how they both thought that
They hated
they
each
hated
other.
each other. Like,
Well, Mia acted like she hated him because that was easier.
yeah, it's how she got attention from him
Yeah, to just annoy
to
him.
just pick on him. Yeah.
Yes, and he picked on her because that was his way of showing affection.
Yeah. One thing that I thought was interesting is how, so he is a voyeur and she's an exhibitionist. But he's not really okay with her being an exhibitionist anymore, which I think is weird.
He has to come to terms with it later. As soon as they put on a performance themselves,
Together.
yeah, he gets it. And then he does let her work
Oh, really?
at the Salacious Players Club as an exhibitionist. Yeah, but she's always by herself.
Yeah.
So it's never with anybody or
And if it is,
anything
it's with
or with him.
him.
No, it's he usually just lets her do it.
Oh, that's cool. I like that even more, honestly.
Yeah, she just masturbates in front of a bunch of people.
That I like that. That's really cool. So he literally asks her if she even enjoys her job. Does she like it or does she want to do something else and she's just doing this to make it by? And she goes, "No, I actually do love this. Like I do enjoy this. I find a lot of confidence in it." And I think that that was so cool how he accepted that of her. You know, like even when he caught her the first time masturbating, it pissed him off, but it ignited their first sex scene, but he also loved it. And he even says that. He goes, "I fucking loved seeing you like that in your element, doing your
Oh yeah,
thing."
he turned feral.
Yeah, but he literally walked in
Feral.
that room, fucking closed those curtains and just went to town on her.
Interesting. I just thought of a question, which is I'm
Ooh, that was my question I was gonna ask you earlier. This is very personal though, so if you don't want to answer it, it's okay. But knowing that you're an exhibitionist, would you ever film yourself? Maybe not for everybody, but would you film yourself just so you and Gamer Boy 23 could watch it?
Yeah.
I'm stunned. That's crazy. What? I
You
don't
would,
think I would ever record myself.
but I feel like it just depends what the star of the show is. And honestly, Garrett says that her face, her facial expressions are actually the star of the show
Yeah.
when she's up there on the stage by herself, which I thought was incredible. Yeah. But no, I would 100%. Yeah.
Damn. I guess I need to live a little. I'm
You
not living
you've
my life.
lived plenty, Taylor. Just because this is not your thing doesn't mean you don't have things. We all know you have things too.
Oh, yeah.
But that'll be a different episode.
That'll be a different episode. We can dive deep into
But
which.
what audience?
Is something I was gonna say. Like, you know what, guys? Don't be ashamed of enjoying sex. Everybody loves sex, okay? Everybody has fantasies, everybody has kinks. We're just those weird ass fucking people that have no problem talking about it. And
No,
I
no
don't think that
filter.
people should be ashamed of it.
And
Like, we're all human.
honestly, I've met a lot of people over just in the last few months that read smut and will sit there in public and talk to me about it. And I feel like there's a certain confidence that comes from reading smut.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't know. I think that smut is something that is very wide range, though. Like, there's so many people that actually like it.
I am so glad that there's Book Talk. Is a whole community that just talks about books, and they don't even have to be smut. But I fell in love with it because I got so many good book recommendations. I like it. And I like that everyone who reads smut freaking talks about reading smut, and it's amazing. Heck yeah.
It's just too good.
Okay, Taylor, did Eyes on Me affect you when you read
Like,
it? Affect you.
yeah. Yes, it did affect me. Not as much as Ice Planet Barbarians, but yes, it did. It was a very good book for me. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
You were thoroughly affected.
I was thoroughly affected. But like
Interesting.
TMI guys, for real, Ice Planet Barbarians had me feeling some type of way. It was a great experience. Which that is crazy. We didn't really even talk about that. The fact that this man didn't have sex for 10 years and the whenever they start doing stuff, he literally has it in mind that he's just gonna basically eat her out on a regular basis over the week at the lake.
Yeah, because
And
he
then
refuses to take her virginity, so he was like, we'll just play.
and she doesn't he doesn't even want her to touch him. Like,
Yeah.
he doesn't want anything in return.
Which I think is a pleasure dom. So I
Yeah,
would call
you're
him a
right.
pleasure dom.
Yeah. But he takes her on a hike, right? And he's basically
I love
gonna
that scene.
take I know it's crazy
Love that
because
scene.
he's gonna try to eat her out in the middle of the woods, but she flips a 180 on him and she gives him a blowjob. And so this whole experience for him is just crazy because she's now opened a door up to him that is been closed for a long time. And even when they actually start having sex, like, he says, you know, he didn't want to do anything with Mia. This is my stepsister, but like, their connection grows more and more and
Yeah.
more for her.
I think that praise, we kept coming back to respect between them and this book, we keep coming back to the connection. They were both yearning for connection in their lives, and they found it within each other, and I thought it was such a beautiful, beautiful story.
But yeah, I don't know. Alrighty, guys, I guess that's the end of the episode. Eyes on Me, Sarah Kate, awesome freaking book. Oh, you know what?
Three peaches.
I did not give it a peach level. I personally give this a 4 peach.
You give everything a four
I
peach.
do. But no, because I gave Praise 3.5.
Oh.
I loved this book. I thought it was a great freaking book.
I finished it in three sittings. So.
But we appreciate the love and support and the patience that y'all are giving us.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, but let's be real here. This is the end of the Smutty Babies podcast episode. We love you guys. We support you guys. We're happy that y'all support us. Please like, comment, share. Go follow us on Instagram, smutty.babies.
Smutty Baby's out.
Smutty Babies out.